there's no better feeling than a personal win. And the State Farm Personal Price Plan can help you do just that. Talk to a State Farm agent today to learn how you can bundle and save with the Personal Price Plan. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. Prices are based on rating plans that vary by state. Coverage options are selected by the customer. Availability, amount of discounts and savings, and eligibility vary by state.
Life is a highway, and on it there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy, so go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code Spotify for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Welcome to my travel podcast, Life's a Beach. Every week, I invite a special guest to take us on a journey together to their favourite holiday destinations and to reveal their top travel tips and tales. In this episode, I speak to daytime TV superstar and a really good friend of mine, Judge Rinder. We take a trip down memory lane to his family holidays to Halal Hotels in Bournemouth, a staycation in Blackpool, Tel Aviv and the award-winning cauliflower, nudie beaches and sexy tramps in Buenos Aires, and can you get Grindr in Siberia? Fasten your seatbelt.
This is the final boarding call for passenger Judge Rinder. Judge Rinder, star of daytime television. I repeat. This is the final boarding call for Judge Rinder. Thank you.
You know I love traveling.
Me too, yeah. It's
now, we threatened to go on holiday, didn't we, a few times? No, but I want it to happen. And you are like my... You are such a good friend, and you're like Mr. Miyagi. You guide me. Do you know that? You do. You guide me.
What do you mean I guide you? What made you wax the floor and then you can enter a karate competition?
Yes. No, you always give good advice. And I know you are a judge, but you said, yeah, I'll go to Israel. Love it. Loved it.
Yeah.
Then that hotel in Manchester, Hotel Gotham. Yeah. You just got away. Is it just me or is it other people?
No, you're quite right. I've got very exacting standards about hotels and holidays. I know what people like.
Yes.
You know, so one way of describing me, and that's kind, or you could just take the view that I'm deeply and profoundly emotionally manipulative. Either or might explain, you know, might explain the application on the other side of my marriage. You like what you like. You're a connoisseur, despite all out.
Sometimes I don't try as much as I'd like, you know. And you say, Alan, do it. Go on, try it. You'll like it.
No, I'm pushy. I'm definitely pushy. I'm like a Jewish mother standing at the edge of the dance of going, dance, shut up and dance.
Yes.
Yes, I'm that person. Mm. And when I check into a hotel, anybody that's with me, I mean, again, you know, it was a particular joy of my marriage. Mm. Wherever we would arrive, I would assume the first room was just the opening offer.
Yeah. Oh, you like that? Always. Do you have anything bigger?
Oh, yeah, yeah, well...
Do you end up saying that a lot?
Always. that's a given. I once went to San Francisco and we checked in. And I didn't, you know, I didn't stop 2 hours later until I had the presidential suite.
Really?
Yeah, or mainly it's a sense of narcissistic arrogance. It's sort of like you have to channel your inner Kim Jong-un, I think.
Yeah.
What I tend to do is when I ask for an upgrade, when they say they don't have it, it's a sort of combination of disappointment and a total lack of understanding. And go up to, you know, let's call her Diane. Diane, naturally, you'll be upgrading this afternoon. She goes, I haven't got upgrading. What? I just don't understand what you mean.
Because you know who's like that? Lionel Blair. He told me he rings up hotels and says, how much are you going to pay Lionel Blair to stay with you?
We are.
You're like Lionel Blair.
In many ways. The tap dancing. We both love Una Stubbs.
Yeah. Oh, Una Stubbs.
Bit of Give Us a Clue. Whenever I go on planes, I'd always get upgraded. I've got secrets.
How'd you do that? Do you wear a neck brace? That's a good one. Don't you? That's how you get. Someone faint. Told me you faint an illness.
I haven't faint an illness. Actually, you can be careful because you won't get the exit seats if you've got a problem which prevents you from, you know, opening the door. So you don't want to feign a disability.
I don't like having that responsibility.
No. But I mean, you're like, you just nod, go, yeah, all right, love. Yeah. Women and children first. Don't worry. As if. Right.
We're now inviting celebrities with small celebrities and any celebrities requiring special assistance to begin boarding at this time.
Okay, so we're at the airport. Come on, you arrive at the airport, duty-free. What do you get from duty, or do you bypass duty-free?
Never. You can understand completely why they make a fortune in those places. I buy an aftershave, same one. Yeah. So buy the
but
same
it's not cheaper.
No, it's not cheaper. It's cheaper nonsense. At all. Complete nonsense.
Get it cheaper at Superdrug.
Right.
Judge Rinder, please come out of duty-free now.
I love a lounge.
Yes.
What is it about the lounge? It's not even that good, but you eat off the buffet.
I know, and that food's been there all day.
Right, exactly. It looks like, you know, uncatalogued organisms living in it. It looks like a sort of ropey buffet from a throat wedding. Yet you go, oh, I've
well,
got,
it's like
got to have a
Iceland
sandwich.
Iceland adverts, isn't it, that Kerry Katona used to do, isn't it? It's like a sad-looking prawn ring staring up at you. No, I don't like that. So do you get, what, do you get magazines on the plane or a book? Do you go high back? You are an avid reader, aren't
yeah,
you?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Sometimes
when you go on holiday, what do you take, like page turners, or do you take?
I have to have physical books, so that takes up most of the weight. Yeah, lunch. I can't be doing with
The sun on a Kindle. You can't. I know. First world problem. I know. Start a GoFundMe page for Alan.
Can't bear it.
I know.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's another charger you have to bring. Did you go trashy book?
I like biography on holiday.
Yes.
I like escaping into somebody's life who I prefer and imagining I'm them.
Because you were quite surprised when you saw I had that Leni Riefenstahl book about the Nazi.
I wasn't surprised. You're a crypto. You're a big... You're not even crypto. You're a serious reader as well.
I love reading.
Yeah. No, I know. And I value your views on literature a lot. Well, like me, you know, once we've swum out of the shallow end, you've got a lot to say.
Oh, that's sweet. That's a nice way of saying it. I remember when on holiday in Mykonos, I took a book called Gulag. Stalin's gulags.
Was it Solzhenitsyn's Gulag Archipelago? Because that's not a holiday book, but it's an incredible book.
Well, it was the nudist speech I was on, and I read that first sentence over and over again because I just kept looking up.
Why?
Everyone was naked. These fit men naked in Mykonos on Super Paradise Beach. You must have been to Mykonos.
No, of course. I don't like it. You have to drive everywhere and, you know, if everyone's sort of like, there's gay seals. It's all that display and cock.
Oh, I know. Do you know what I mean? One was so big, I could have used it as a bookmark.
You think, oh, I could do with a hot dog for lunch. it's all that, you know, the great big, those great big beds that you have to pay a fortune for.
I know.
Not my cup of tea at all. That is interesting, though, when you are, like, on a beach like that, whether you take a really deep book.
Yes.
As you are sort of in a place that's sort of very Ibiza.
Yes.
It's like there's a fine line. It's, I suppose, what is the correct moral cushion between doing something totally important and something depraved? Like, what should the gap be between reading a serious book like about
Gulag.
The Gulag and looking up and, it's difficult. I've always sort of wondered, you know. I finished reading, watching, I suppose, the other night for a documentary I'm making in September where, so I finished watching the end scene of Schindler's List. I thought, I can't really sleep, but I can't put on Shaving Ryan's Privates now. I need a good cushion.
Yes.
A good window. It's just not right.
So what's this this documentary is about the Holocaust, isn't
it? I know.
It?
Yeah. It is.
I was watching again your Who Do You Think You Are, which was just so moving. Poland, obviously, is where you went, and then Latvia as well. Can you go back to Poland now, or is the memory too sullied now? How do you feel?
It's an interesting one. It's difficult, you know. For a long time, these countries, places, only existed in historical fact, Alan. What I mean by historical fact, they were kind of places of horror. They were places of my grandfather's childhood, which was, you know, a thread woven into a tapestry that was all about the Holocaust, and it was dark. So the only time I went to Poland was to make the documentary, and before 20 years ago, where he lived.
Yes.
And it wasn't a place that I would even thinly consider for a holiday. Similar Germany as well. But what's happened, of course, is that that's changed, especially Germany. Berlin's an awesome city.
Yeah.
But it's also one of those cities which I... There are a few cities like this, I don't know if you find it, where you really have to know someone for it to open itself up to you.
Yes,
yes. You can't just sort of arrive, or otherwise you'll end up in all the tourist places.
Yes, yes.
Do you know what I mean? Mm. It's an insider city.
LA is a bit like that. Los Angeles, you need... I've been there, and then now I know people over there. Right. You do see a different side.
It's still full of twats, though.
It is.
And it's got absolutely, you know, it's got the sort of intellectual and cultural range of a salad, an airline salad. Whereas you go to Germany, and what I love about it is how... I say Germany, you go to, say, Berlin. I like how kind of culturally democratic it is. Bear with me before you make a face. I can see you rolling your eyes and shrugging your shoulders, going, right, love. No, but really care about it. You go to a classical gig.
Yeah.
Right. And it's, there's a real range of ages and backgrounds that you don't get here. It's not all the Blue Rinse Brigade. You know, you go to a Wigmore Hall here, it's like they opened up the...
like that scene from Cocoon.
Right, exactly. It's like they open up fucking Harrods Food Hall and there they all are.
Yeah.
You know. And whereas there, you know, you go out in the evening, it just feels a bit like Tel Aviv as well.
Yes.
It feels like you can be over 40.
Yeah.
And go out and have a great time clubbing and not feel like what's granddad doing. At the same time, you can go and enjoy different sort of kinds of culture and be with a range of people, a plurality, rather than, you know, just a bunch of boring white people.
Yeah, yeah. Mm. I love the food in Tel Aviv.
Oh, it's amazing.
Oh, my God.
Did you put on weight?
I always put on weight on holiday, but I had this cauliflower and apparently...
I know where you went.
They just roasted a cauliflower, but it's won awards in New York. I said, how's this cauliflower won awards in New York? But they went, yes. But I mean, I honestly, great. And all the rooftop bars and everything.
And everyone's beautiful.
Everyone is fit.
And you're talking about... The thing about Israel is interesting because it's they are really fit.
Buenos Aires. They are fit. There was a tramp and I went, woof.
Yeah, you would. Exactly.
I would.
Right, exactly.
I would have sex with a tramp in Buenos Aires because they are fit.
I sort of know what you mean. Yeah, they don't sell the big issue, but if they did...
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you'd buy one.
I'll sneak under that roll of newspaper and give them a cuddle.
Israel's interesting because Tel Aviv is a very succinct experience, different from the rest of Israel, where you go and it's, of course, it's so laced in complexity and politics and history.
Oh, of course,
Jerusalem.
Isn't it?
Whereas Tel Aviv is exactly as you describe. It's this sort of hub of, it's a happening place at the moment, a pulse of art and a real genuine range of ages and sexualities and experimentation in every kind. It feels like a breathing, living city. And like you say, you know, people are passionate about the food that they make or the art that they make. It somehow permeates into the smell of the place and the food. It's like you say, you can roast a simple cauliflower.
Delicious. I'm not a big cauliflower fan, I'm honest. But I don't know what he did. It was absolutely lovely. Terrible wind, but it was lovely. And then also, I went to Jerusalem and then that hotel you raved about, they gave me a... I wasn't in the old bit, I was in the modern bit.
I told you to ask for the old
bit. Well, I'm not like you, Rob, am I? Me. I know. I'm Rob Brinner. Don't you watch daytime telly?
Yeah.
I was in Strictly, don't you know?
No, I don't think that's going to go down well. It'd be like me walking into the same place with a pork yo-yo. I don't think... I'm not sure that would be influential or helpful.
Life is a highway. And on it, there will be many chicken sandwiches. But there's only one McCrispy. So go ahead and hit the turn signal if you know about this juicy gem of a detour.
Spring is a time of renewal. So why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Free samples, free shipping, and our 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step and into your home too. Shop Blinds.com now and save up to 45%. Up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Now listen, like the whole of the general public, when you dressed up as Flintstone, what's he called? Fred Flintstone, and you whipped your top off.
Right.
That amazing body. So you are beach body ready.
Do you
get it, the body out when you're on a beach? You show off?
Do you know, you should show off. I've got photos of being in Ibiza, and I look at them. They're like my mood board, my hope of getting back there. But most of the time, no.
You've got abs.
I used to have a six-pack, and now, you know, since lockdown, I've just got the one. It's like a barrel down there.
Oh,
it's been an absolute...
One ab. I think I've got one ab.
We've both got one ab.
One ab.
It's really...
The flirt is silent.
it's just falling apart.
What was the most inane thing you had to do? Because, you know, they asked me to do Strictly, and I say...
No.
I ain't not doing those stupid, crappy VTs where today I'm doing the flamenco.
Yeah.
We're going off to Chester Zoo.
Right.
You know, I say I need to rehearse. I can't have a day at a factory or dancing in a car park.
So they didn't do that a lot with me and Oksana.
Did you tell them no?
No, it was none of that. I'm never divvy. I'm so thrilled to be doing any telly. And I used to do very serious law. And, you know, on telly, when you do serious law, you'd be lucky, no matter what you're doing, I used to do some very serious international cases, you'd be lucky if somebody made you a cup of tea. Mm-hmm. You arrive to do telly, you've got people running around after you and all the rest of it. I had to stop it because I know what I'm like, and I would be, you know, Stalin or Kim Jong-un in a week.
Yeah.
You know, so I don't do any of that stuff. The inane thing, or the thing that perhaps disarms you, is that I've never said anything on television, I hope, which has been disingenuous. Nobody conscripts me into saying anything.
No.
Like, you try to be authentic. You know, sometimes you've got to do the jazz hands, but it doesn't work for me. People can tell when I'm bullshitting.
Mm.
And so the only time I really ever have is in that first day where you go and it's like you arrive and people throw glitter at you and it's like a nightmare. It's like a gay nightmare. It's like Dante's jazz-handed hell.
Yeah.
And you get there and they put this great big glittery light in your face. And it's sort of like a repeat after me. And this producer who kept asking these desperately inane broom cupboard questions.
Yeah.
It was like somehow being, I don't know, questioned or cross-examined by Andy Crane. But sort of like more
That's
frightening.
That's a blast from the bloody right, past, exactly. Isn't it, Andy Crane?
Andy Crane has got no brain. Anyway, so she starts asking this question. Anyway, the next thing I find myself repeating what she's saying because I'm so... completely paralysed by it all. And I find myself looking down the barrel end of this glittery camera saying, my whole life, all I've ever wanted to do is to get to Blackpool. I thought, what the fuck has just come out of my mouth? I worked in Blackpool. Even the people that I used to represent, the heroin users, used to pretend that they lived in St. Anne's.
Oh, I turned the lights on at Blackpool.
I'd love to do
that.
And
then I turned them off again when I thought, no, I didn't.
I think it's quite cool, Blackpool. It's quite cool again.
When I lived in Manchester, we used to have the... If you want to laugh, you go to Blackpool.
Right.
And I did a Radio 2 show from on top of a tram with Emma Forbes. And she was horrified. She's never, ever been to Blackpool. And this woman, she was sitting in the car, and then this woman in a tutu lifted her tutu up and pressed her ass cheeks against the side of the car. And I was like, she was like, what the fuck? And I said, well, this is Blackpool, love.
No.
But then...
You're lucky the same sort of thing happened. She didn't have a W on both arms. She's like, wow, I'm in Blackpool.
But then they had this great idea of live on the top of a tram. And, you know, this is back health and safety nightmare. The sparks that was, you know, and I like a cardigan.
Yeah.
And it was sparks.
Yeah.
It was terrifying.
No,
I was burning my face.
I can imagine. Well, yeah, that wouldn't be.
Yeah. Hello, I'm live on radio. These sparks raining down on me.
Like a bumper car. Like the yes! top of a thing.
Yeah. Yes, all this static.
Yeah. Do you know what? I had a great time in Blackpool, though.
Mm-hmm.
That was the best bit, the party at Blackpool. Plus, they give you extra money if you get to the Blackpool thing.
Oh, do
That's
you?
Why everyone says I want to get to Blackpool. Yeah.
No.
But actually, it was amazing. We had this amazing party at a hotel that's it's in the middle of a roller coaster. This hotel, it's like the roller
the
coaster.
The Big Blue.
Right. Yeah. The
I've
Big Blue.
I stayed there.
Right. Oh, it's lovely, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, it is.
Charming.
Nice.
And they closed down the bar to have this private disco.
Yeah.
And honestly, it was like some weird childhood. How would you describe it? It was as if a sort of psychedelic fest. There was Rick Astley doing the conga and singing his own tunes with Tess Daly. It was like the sort of mad party. It was amazing.
That's amazing. Because I want to go. There's a bar there just for little people. Did you know this in Blackpool? It's all very secret. So when they're doing the pantos, little people can relax. And they can, without getting any abuse or anything, which is great.
I didn't know why. It's a shame, though.
Well, you know, people are heightists and everything.
Good afternoon, passengers. This is your captain speaking. First, I'd like to welcome everyone on Alan Air Flight 86A. We are currently cruising at an altitude of 33,000 feet at an airspeed of 400 miles per hour.
So tell us a hidden UK gem.
Do you know what? I can't lie. I don't do bullshit.
That's all right, love.
I don't tend to go on holiday in England, but I'm going for the first time properly on Monday to go and walk in the Lake District.
Oh, how
lovely. Really properly. Yeah, so I got back recently from Namibia.
We must talk about that.
It was amazing. But one of the things I really found, which is a surprise, and I say it's a surprise because I often listen to people talking about yoga and, you know, being in the moment and that sort of thing. And I want to sort of drown myself in soup. I can't bear. It feels somehow that they're displaying or virtue signalling.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? Their sense of inner peace that they found.
Yeah.
It's like people who are at an opera and are going, yes, I understand it. Look at me.
Yes.
That nonsense.
I mean, it's like on Instagram. Right. I mean, the amount of people who are on there, pictures of them on a yacht with a glass of champagne, and they're all on antidepressants. They're all
exactly
on fucking antidepressants.
Exactly. But I had this moment on the second day of walking across the desert in Namibia, and they'd sort of set it up so that we would fail. But, you know, often they'll, when you're not available and they've gone down the spaghetti soup of celebrities down to Z, and they want, they'll ask me to do stuff. And very often what they'll do is they'll want to conscript me into being kind of preening or screaming like a highly strung poodle.
Yeah.
So they put me in the ice bath because we were supposed to be going to Mongolia just to yelp. And I was like, fuck off. Are we allowed to swear on this, by the way?
Yes, you can.
I was like, fuck off. So I sat in this ice bath. They gave me, a glass of wine and a cigarette. That's what I thought. God.
Yeah.
And the second day of Namibia, it was this desert, 40 degree heat. And it was a 26 mile sort of scamper. You had to do it before nightfall. And I found myself just the desert, listening to music, and from the kind of sublime to the less sublime, from Harry Styles to the Nine Mahler symphonies. And I had a moment, a genuine moment, where it was just me, bit of music and the breath, and I felt no phone, of course, no invasion from any outside white noise. And I was totally happy and peaceful.
How lovely is that?
Just in the walking. And, you know, I'd listened to Wainwright, who's, as you know, Arthur, who's written... And if you listen to his Desert Island Discs, this incredibly profound person has written for years what it meant to him to walk in the lakes and how the stones matter to him. It's like a living, breathing landscape. So I'm going on Mondays. So hopefully.
So you're trying to capture some of that inner peace in the lakes.
Exactly.
Oh.
So I hope I do. I've been to some nice... Where else do I like in England?
Well, you know, can I say about Sports Relief? I'm a bit pissed off with them, really, because they asked me to do these things and I have my own challenge and they poo-pooed it.
What was
Listen to how this is. Skipping around the M25.
I think that's a great idea. What, yeah, cavort skipping?
Well,
like, what do you mean skipping? Like skipping with the rope?
No, not just skipping in a gay way. With right. the rope. Skipping.
I do it with you.
I said, and they said, right. health and safety, people will be stopping to look.
That's
I said,
true.
Well, all publicity is good publicity. And how much money do you want to raise?
Yeah.
And I thought, there's a few nice wild bean cafes.
And there's a great idea, but you've got to get people to join you for like different bits. Do you
yes,
know what I mean?
Yes, like the Olympic tour.
Right, exactly.
And then I
so.
Pass the skipping rope to right. you at South Mims.
Near where my mum lives, we could
oh,
do that.
We could pop in and see right, your mum.
Mum, it'd be perfect. We'd get Lizzie from TVAM yeah. to come and join. It'd
oh,
be
you
absolutely
were so
perfect.
Mean to your mum, and who do you think you are? She's like you without the word.
Well, I've got to, do you know what? It's terrible. It's even it. Worse than that, because this documentary I've made, we go to a concentration
oh,
camp,
God.
And it included the most profound moment in my life, and it definitely will be the most profound moment in my life, as we stood on the ground of this place, the sacred ground of the place. And I took my mum there for a very important purpose. I have to say that as we were getting to this moment, instead of being engaged and really centered in what we were about to do and the profundity of it all I could think was, why didn't you sort your hair extensions out?
Oh, you are.
No, it's terrible, but that's what I was thinking. It was God. Driving me mad. And I obviously, as the moment happened,
yes.
I then was totally...
You are.
But it's that, you're the same. It's, that's
yes.
what goes through your head.
I know it does.
Of course it does. I say I don't go on holiday in England. All of my childhood holidays, people think that I sound like this. And that somehow, you know, I must have been born... with not just a silver spoon.
Or you went to like a girls' finishing school.
Right.
That's what people assume.
I've got no transferable skills. In the event of war, I've been thinking about, or real crisis, I've got nothing. I'd have to be a hostage. Like, they've done away...
You've got so many skills. You speak Russian.
That's... What use is that? I can't...
Well, in I'm... Russia, come in, Andy.
Right,
when
we're not
I
in Russia.
When you were on a train through Russia. What was that
oh, yeah.
for?
That was...
Because you go... What was that for?
That was a lifelong dream. But I do want to get back to England at some point because all my childhood holidays were in Bournemouth.
Sorry. Oh, yes.
Right. And I'll come back to Russia really quick. Like I say, people think that, because of the way I sound, it's not just a silver spoon. It's the whole
cutlery drawer.
Right,
yeah.
Exactly.
Ladle. A ladle.
A ladle.
You have got a big mouth, Rob. She was born with a silver ladle in his mouth.
I know. I was sort of wondering when this sort of happened to me. I grew up the road from Amy Winehouse, you know, and
yeah.
know her family very well. My brother, you've met my brother.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Loves you. Doesn't, as do all my family, they don't sound at all like me. I am my own special creation, put it that way. This is what happens, you know.
At the UPS store, we know things can get busy this upcoming holiday. You can count on us to be open and ready to help with any packing and shipping or anything else you might need.
Is there anything you can't do?
Actually, I don't have a good singing voice. The UPS... Nope. But our certified packing experts can pack and ship just about anything.
At least that's good.
The UPS store. Be unstoppable. Most locations are independently owned. Product, services, pricing, and hours of operation may vary. See center for details. Come in today to get your holiday goodies there on time.
Today Healthier is happening at CVS Health in more ways than you've ever seen. It's wellness destinations for seniors, including select locations of Oak Street Health and CVS Pharmacy. It's doctors, nurses, pharmacists, and everyone in between, offering quality care and support virtually, in person, and on the phone. It's in-home evaluations through Signify Health and meeting mental health needs through Aetna. And those are just a few of the ways Healthier is happening. To see more, visit cvshealth.com/healthierhappenstogether. CVS Pharmacy, Oak Street Health, CVS Specialty, Signify Health, and Aetna are part of CVS Health. Eligibility and services vary by location and individual.
This episode is brought to you by the Weather Channel. It's suggested that brands avoid using sound effects in podcast ads. And remember to speak in a chill tone. Well, here's a suggestion for everyday life. Tap into the Weather Channel app. It's loaded with insights that help you manage your allergies, breathe easy, and
use your outside voice.
What in the weather are you waiting for? Be a force of nature with the Weather Channel app.
When I was young, you know, my dad was a taxi driver, but there weren't many foreign holidays. So we used to go to...
I suppose that's how you must know Amy Winehouse's
right,
dad.
Right, right, right. Yeah, I know Mitch.
Mitch
and,
yeah.
And I grew up absolutely in that world. Mm. And our holidays, as a Jewish family, were down to Bournemouth. Mm. And we'd either be in the Cumberland Hotel, which was a kosher hotel, or the slightly more religious New Ambassadors Hotel.
It's a bit like when you read stories about going, or rather the stories people tell about upstate New York's, the New York, the Catskills. I mean, this was like, how would you describe it? It's like Jewish on steroids. Yeah. I mean, it was amazing. All of like this great big shtetl food. It was like, what would happen if there was a slightly upmarket hotel in Anatevka from Fiddler on the Roof?
Oh,
do you know what I mean? Yeah, only with bingo and a disco.
Because we were at the Red... Was it the Dead Sea?
Oh, yeah.
And we were in that hotel. And of course, the Sabbath, is it Shabbat?
Yeah. Right, Shabbat on Friday night, yeah.
I'm in this lift. It's stopping at every floor.
Right, because you can't press the
button. You can't press the button. And Paul, who, as you know, Paul does not even do any research into it. We're in the lounge and he said to the man, can you make me a cup of tea? And he goes, no. And then the man just points to the make it yourself. And so, Paul's like, right, one star on TripAdvisor.
Right, so
I said, no, this is their religious. They can't do anything. They don't do anything between these times. But it took me a while because I think there must be a little shitty kid pressing the button because it stops on everything. Then they can't press the button.
Right. I love the idea of you and Paul sort of going around committing acts of anti-Semitic microaggression.
I know. But then it dawned on us. But then we did have some Jewish friends.
Yeah.
They walked from Muswell Hill to a party because they didn't want to get in the car.
Right, yeah.
So what was it like? Was it like this at that Jewish
Absolutely.
Hotel?
No. I mean, there was a ropey lift. There was a singer called Genie and there was bingo. And it was my first, I think, real taste of injustice because every week there was a fancy dress... like competition. I used to take it really seriously. Once my mum dressed me up as Miss Piggy. I did the lot. You know, I even made the outfit. And my brother was Kermit.
Yeah.
Obvs. And, he wasn't. Anyway, that little shit who was related to the owner of the hotel had dressed up as a fucking fisherman. Which is like when people go around my area, they go trick-or-treating and they show up at the door wearing, you know, tracksuit bottoms.
Oh,
and stuff.
I know.
And I say, what are you? And they say, I'm a football manager or something.
Oh, rubbish.
You know, he was dressed up as a fisherman. He fucking won.
Oh.
Right.
And you were Miss Piggy.
I was Miss Piggy. I got nothing. Anyway.
And that's what started it all off.
My first taste of real injustice at the New Ambassador Hotel. But my granddad used to take us on his own, just me and because my mum was working. And those are really special times. Mm. And he used to be very different, quite a complicated human. But when he was on holiday, he was incredibly generous and delighted. Yes. And of course, we had no parents. It was my brother and I, you know, getting pissed on Baby Sham.
Oh,
it was lovely.
That's a night out, isn't it?
Well, yeah. Oh, it was fantastic. Still a night out, to be honest with you, love. But it was great.
In first class, you will have an all-you-can-eat buffet, Wagyu beef, caviar washed down with copious amounts of crystal. Thank you for flying Alan Air. For those of you in economy, you will be jet-washed Ribena. So please do not put your hand up. Just open your mouth and let the spray go in.
So what's this about you going on holiday with Susanna Reid?
Yeah,
because everyone saw you on Gogglebox. Like, what the hell? How do they know each other? So what's she like? Can she let her hair down on holiday?
She used to when she drank.
I suppose it's nice to just be away from Piers Morgan, isn't it?
You know what? I mean, it's interesting, people that you meet. And I, especially in this business, you know, it's a fascinating thing.
To find someone genuine in this business.
Right. And I suppose because I came into it much older. Actually, to an important extent, you did as well. You did a lot of your kind of growing up around inverted commas ordinary people.
Yes.
Which means that you, I think, have the emotional capital, currency, vocabulary to assess people in a slightly, I think, more mature way. Mm. And similarly, Susanna was one of the people I met very, very early on, over 6 years ago. Yeah, and we went to Ibiza. We're a bit rubbish. We don't really do much.
No.
I like lunch.
Yes.
So don't get me wrong, we stay in a grand place. Yeah. But I like a nice long lunch with beer and lovely food.
Yes.
And we might go to the Ushuaia because that finishes at midnight.
Yes.
And after that, it's enough already. I don't want to go.
Because they say Ibiza's two halves. You either go there.
Yeah.
You know, you've got the bad side and you've got the good side. So you say
you can't do both. You do one club night out. I think they unfairly represented Susanna a bit on Gogglebox. You could get the impression that she's cold and doesn't delight in the world. And she's actually the complete opposite of that. She really does let her hair down. And one evening she took us to a Tiny Temper gig in San Antonio. She's mad into, she's talked about a bit, to garage music. Just like I'm into, you know, female grime artists. And I sometimes go to the gigs in Brixton and people have seen me there. And they're going, what are you doing here? Do you know what I mean?
Oh, my God, but this is a side to you I didn't know about.
Well,
you
I like female grime. Because they don't talk bollocks. They're like modern-day Sylvia Plath. Yeah, if we were going to go down the black hole of pretentious. But yeah, so we have a nice time. We have lunch. And you know what it is? I think it's a safe space for the two of us to just sleep and drink and...
Yes.
Be kind of safe around one another.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean? It's much easier for me as a man in the public eye to some extent or in the media, whatever you want to say. And that's true for you. When you're a woman, you know, you just get differently assessed.
Yes, yeah.
It's a totally different kind of toxic tsunami.
Yeah.
In a way where, I mean, if you come back to Strictly, I used to show up to the rehearsals and often I wouldn't show up with any... Like with a dancing trousers, I go downstairs into the Sainsbury's and buy a pair of pyjama bottoms. Mm-hmm. Nobody commented.
No.
I mean, she shows up and it's like a whole business. Do you know what I mean?
Well, it's like that radio show I do with Melanie Sykes, isn't it? I mean, the first day, the joy of radio is putting on some jogging bottoms, Uggs and a slang kit and just ring up. There is a bank of paparazzi trying to get... Like a tramp. I look like a tramp. And of course, I cycle there as well. So
what?
I'm sweating.
Do you wear
a helmet? And I look like Crazy Frog. Remember? No. Ding, 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 ding. And then the thing is that the helmet's cut into my head. It looks like I've had a lobotomy at the weekend.
Do you wear the? Do you wear your cycling shorts?
No, I can't wear them.
Why? Well, you've got a lovely silhouette.
I have got lovely legs.
No, that's not what I meant. You've got lovely silhouette.
Silhouette.
I've always thought that about you. Deceptive.
Lockdown's been a bit cruel with the old jugs, but anyway. So listen, let's talk about Russia.
Quickly about Russia.
Because I rang you up and you went, I can't talk, I'm on a train in Siberia. And I thought, well, if you don't want to talk, Rob, just say, you don't have to make shit up. I'm going in a Siberian tunnel. No, what happened? Yeah. Why are you there?
This was an absolute once-in-a-lifetime bucket list, which was to go across the world by train. So I say across the world, flying from London to Moscow with my best girlfriend, and we were going to get on the train that goes from Moscow to Beijing via Outer Mongolia.
Wow.
And... it was everything I hoped for and more. Katie Glass, who's this brilliant journalist, Sunday Times journalist, came and stayed with me for about 7 months. It was just a joy to have her. And I said, should we do it? And we booked it and organised the whole thing within like 3 weeks, which is unfathomable, unthinkable, really difficult. We managed to do it. We flew to Moscow by way of Amsterdam. And I tell you, we had the day in Amsterdam. I mean, that's a story for definitely another time. But I have to tell you that the two of us managed to get on the plane from Amsterdam to Moscow. When I got on the plane, I will tell you this part of it and you can draw your own conclusions. I asked the air hostess, could she please do a tannoy? Because I need to know where Katie Glass is because she's not here. And anyway, she did a tannoy for Katie Glass. She was sitting next to me. I was on the plane.
Say no more.
We arrive in Moscow and it was Christmas and winter. It's magical. It's magical in a way that is impossible to describe unless you experience it. And as you know, I'm interested in Russia and Russian literature. Yeah. I speak enough Russian. We went to see the Nutcracker at the Bolshoi and the food was amazing.
What are the people like? What are the Russians like?
Blunt, honest, no bullshit. And then when you...
And you like that.
Right. When you elbow your way through some of it, totally delightful and hospitable. We went to one of these banyas, you know, where they whack you with sticks and, you know, with your arse out and that sort of thing. Of course, they didn't understand that I could speak Russian. And that's so they're saying all that, you know, whack the foreigner, basically, and that sort of thing.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. Or one said to the other one, that one looks like a right old queen. Actually, not a pejorative, because there is, you know... Yeah. And you sit there with no clothes on, and you're in the bit next door as there's a bloke biting into a fish and having vodka. Couldn't be more masculine. It's lovely.
Oh, nice.
Right. It's not sort of... Anyway, we got on the train at midnight two nights before Christmas and our Christmas, because they don't have Christmas on the 25th of December. And we'd bought a load of caviar, expensive caviar, a load of vodka. And it was a journey into Narnia. And when we told people we were doing this in Russia, their response was literally that we must be absolutely fucking nuts. Yeah. You know, what's wrong? There is a good plane. You are crazy. You know. And of course, the other thing about it was that in third class, they allow the military to travel for free.
Yeah.
There is a warning, apparently. Well, there is one. I read it in Russian saying, you know, be careful because there are acts of, well, violence on people, especially lone travellers for the soldiers. And I was like, oh, great, that's included in the ticket price. So I went through the... But you disappear out of Moscow Station into this world of perpetual winter, you know, that C.S. Lewis tried to touch and describe, but really only gets to... But really only gets to the edge of it. It's like, right, hold on to your sick bucket, but it's how I felt, like sublime nothingness. You can't fathom the vastness until you're there, day after day. And we'd stop in the middle of the night in places called, you know, Omsk and run off and maybe see a golden Lenin. And then Christmas Day, we stopped in a bigger city and the only place that was open was a Kentucky Fried Chicken. Went and ran that and got it on the train whilst drinking Baltica 9, which is basically a drink that they call it the Widowmaker in Russian. Basically pickles your liver in one sip. It was, and then we go and sit in the buffet car and watch the entire world go by as the colours change. And then ended up, we were in Eastern Siberia by now, Katie been tweeting. And it captured the imagination of Russians and English people. So bar car enthusiasts were talking to each other. Yeah. We were like major celebrities. We got off the train in Irkutsk, which is in Eastern Siberia. And they couldn't have been kinder. And we then went to Lake Baikal, which is this mysterious lake in the middle of nowhere. We climbed up a mountain because the chairlift wasn't working because it was minus 50. So you split in the air and it freezes before you hit the ground. Real stuff. And there are shamanic flags everywhere as you stop into a market and get warm and have more vodka. And I got into a banyo and jumped into this ice-cracked lake. And it was just glorious. And the food and the flatness of the light and the vastness of it all. It was sort of magical. And then we left there and you get on a new train and you go to Mongolia, which was, again, this new experience. Again, the colours change, etc. Spent the night in a yurt, which I don't recommend. Then you get on another train and we ended up crossing the Gobi Desert into Beijing. And you keep crossing time zones. Mm. And so you almost disappear into this sort of strange subconscious world where 2 o'clock means something, in the morning means something different. It's really rare. I think, I don't know if you find this about holidays, very often it's like life, perhaps, relationships, everything. It's really important, I suppose it's difficult not to do, to over-romanticise, overwrite the narrative of what it's going to look like.
Yeah.
Because depression or failure, or perhaps, I don't know, disappointment is the best way of describing it, exists between the huge space, the gap, the chasm between the story you've told and then, of course, the reality. And I think very often, maybe always, it's really hard for your expectation of an experience or of a holiday to meet the story you've told, or especially if you're tired, or how relaxing it's going to be, or how you'll feel at the end of it. This trip across the world was everything I hoped it would give me and more. It was amazing.
Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of the crew, I ask that you please direct your attention to the monitors above as we review the emergency procedures.
I just wanted to see, just the experiment. I kept a screenshot of it all. Went on Grindr in West, as we were passing through Western Siberia, or come to me, I can't remember what the capital is.
They have Grindr in Siberia.
Yeah, it's big old cities. Anyway, so I turn on this thing, and anyway, so I said, he goes, you are in Novosibirsk? I said, yeah. I said, no, I'm on the train. He's like,
crazy foreigner tonight.
Can I ask, what was the level of fitness of some of the Siberian men on Grindr? Because someone told me they were at the Vatican on Grindr, and the amount of people, they were all quite fit at the Vatican, apparently.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Yeah. And also, they'd leave instantly because they'd have that sort of post-ejaculative guilt moment. So you wouldn't have to, have to spend time with them. It's a magical trip to do for 10 days with somebody.
I'm tempted to do that.
I would definitely say don't take your partner.
Don't take Paul.
Not your Paul, just anyone's partner.
I'm not going to have an affair on the Trans-Siberian. Don't take someone.
Love,
I'm not a home wrecker.
No, you go.
Homo wrecker.
No. I mean, what I mean is you've got to do it with somebody that feels really motivated to do it.
Oh, I don't know about Paul. Paul likes to just sit by the pool. With his earphones in.
Right, I'm going to Fab, one of the fabulous trains. I just got back from Peru and we did one of these like mega first class trains. Those were incredible.
Oh.
You've got the piano and the rush. And
it's amazing. Love all that.
Oh, that's fabulous. I mean, they're fabulous. It had a bar. I played the piano. It was amazing.
And where's this, Peru?
Yeah, you do. They've got an Orient Express own two trains. One's two nights on the train across Peru. It's magical.
So you'd say you throw a bit of money at your holidays because you feel
Right.
If they make you feel amazing, then it's worth the money, isn't it? You sort of get from a holiday, what people get from a watch or a nice car or
precisely.
Something.
Precisely. Yeah. It gives...
You can't beat travel, I don't think.
For me, real joy. You know what I mean? It's the thing that I'm happy to waste or invest in, however you want to describe it. You know, and it's a memory that's a gift, I think.
So. I remember when I took Kelly Hoppen on the tube. She never went on the tube. She asked where the buffet car was. The Circle Line.
Yeah.
Where's the buffet car? I said, no, love, this is a tube.
Trains. She probably said
it. She did say it.
If you like to look out of your window, you can see banter. And if you look out on your left side, you get really gossipy chat.
Shh.
And also, we must say about the heavy breathing, it's not you or me, it's your lovely dog.
Yeah, no, that's right.
Who's been giving me evils all day. I usually get on with dogs.
That's just the way he looks. This is good. He doesn't really get on with men, to be honest. He only likes women, subject to them being in decent pair of shoes. Otherwise, it's a nightmare.
Oh, how does he know what a woman is? Is it the smell of the woman, or do you reckon it's the breath? Because I've got jugs.
Really?
Yeah, I have gone up a cup size during lockdown.
We all have, you know. You either come out a drunk, a chunk, or a hunk.
I had an aunt called Janice. She had an Alsatian called Charlie. And the dog used to jump up and sniff her crutch. And she said, you can smell my Charlie. And then we always thought for ages that her vagina was called Charlie. But it was her Alsatian.
Oh, gosh. I went somewhere totally different with it. I thought perhaps she was smuggling drugs up her crack.
No crack. Okay, anyway. Quick fire round.
Go on.
Okay, chicken or beef?
A chicken.
Street food or a la carte?
Street food, definitely.
Taxi or tuk-tuk?
Depends where.
Come on. Why are you trying to ruin my...
Tuk-tuk.
Why are you trying to ruin my show?
Tuk-tuk.
Factor 50 or chip fat?
Chip fat.
Scuba diving or paddle?
Oh, scuba diving.
Nudist or not on your Nelly?
Not on my fucking Nelly. Not on yours either.
Thank you. Don't bring my Nelly into this. Thank you, Rob.
It's been a joy and a delight.
Thank you. You know what? I just want to visit all these places. You just speak about them so lovely. And I'd never, ever want to go to Siberia, but I think I do.
You'd love it.
I'll go with someone else's partner. David Beckham.
What's that then? It's like that here, isn't it? Yeah. Snowing, isn't it?
Thank you, Rob.
No, it's been a joy.
Thank you for having me, darling.
As ever, thanks for your lovely joy.
Thanks for listening to Life's a Beach. If you loved it, please subscribe. And don't bother unpacking because we're going away again next week.